Good morning. Today, I am super excited because today we get to close out our series called Why Am I Here? And over the last several weeks, we've been answering the big questions. What is my purpose in life? What does God want me to do? We know that we are created by God for God. We are called to be loved. We know that we were called to belong to God's family. We know that we are called to become what God has called us to be. And last week, Pastor Bo showed us that we were called to be a blessing to others. Now today, we're looking at our fifth calling, the calling to be sent out into the world and to tell people about Jesus. I'm gonna be honest, of all the callings, this one is my favorite because I'm a big old nerd. And I love to talk about the Bible. I love to talk about Jesus. And a few months ago, I was invited to hang out with Chi Alpha out on the college campus and to spread the gospel, to talk about Jesus. And I love the way they do it. Every Tuesday, they go out there and they take a dry erase board and they write a question on the dry erase board. And then they walk around and they ask the students if they would like to answer this question. And they'll use their answer as a segue into talking about Jesus. And on this day, the question was, what do you think makes a good friend? And from this question, there were lots of really, really good conversations. But there was one student in particular who I remember he turned that question around on Fabian, who's one of the Chi Alpha leaders, and he asked Fabian, what do you think makes a good friend? I remember Fabian didn't skip a beat. Perfect answer. Fabian told him, I think that a good friend, a best friend, is somebody who would be willing to die for you. Fantastic answer. And over the next 10 minutes, Fabian told him all about Jesus, told him that Jesus died for your sins, that Jesus took the punishment that we deserve. And at the end of this, the student shook his hand and he smiled. And he told Fabian, thank you, because nobody had ever told him about Jesus like that. And it was right then that I realized most people know about Jesus, but they don't know who he is. Not unless somebody tells them. Now, I don't know if this student gave his life to Christ that day or not, but I do know that he went home thinking about Jesus. And that's the point. That's what we're called to do. And here's why. Because God is gathering his family. Here's what the Bible says. His unchanging plan, this is God's unchanging plan, has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. Circle unchanging and circle always. Because since the very beginning, God has been creating a family that's going to love him and that is going to live with him forever. But here's the hard truth. Every single one of us are created by God. Every single one of us are loved by God. But not everybody is a child of God. You have to choose to be in the family. And the Bible's clear that there's only one way to get into the family. And that's you have to be born again. God has given us the freedom to either love him or reject him. God cannot force you to love him, because if he could, then it wouldn't be love. God cannot force you to believe in him, because then it wouldn't be faith. We have to choose to love him. We have to choose to trust him. Accepting Jesus is a choice. And in order for that to happen, somebody has to pass on the good news. So let me ask you a question. When was the first time you heard about Jesus? Some of you may have grown up in church and you've been a believer your entire lives. Some of you may have heard about Jesus from a coworker. The first time I heard about Jesus was from a friend when I was about 20 years old. But I didn't know Jesus until I was in my mid-30s. But the point is that every single one of us had to be told about Jesus. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he said this, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. But how shall they ask him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Underline those words, unless someone tells them. This is the fifth calling in your life. You are called to be sent. Now, what this verse means is that we're called to bring others into God's family. The moment we stepped across that line and gave our lives to Jesus, God wants us to start telling other people the good news. God desires for everyone to have exactly what you have. Peace, joy, love, a home in heaven. But that won't happen unless we start talking. We need to have that conversation. So why is it so hard to tell people about Jesus? Is it because we're afraid of looking narrow-minded? Is it because we're afraid of losing friends? Is it because we're afraid of looking socially awkward? We'd rather remain quiet? But what if your neighbor's house was on fire? Would you just stand by and watch it burn? Of course you wouldn't. You would run over there, banging on that door with one hand and calling the fire department on the phone on the other hand, right? And this is infinitely more important. If you believe that eternal life is possible and you know how to obtain it, isn't it worth the risk of being socially awkward? When I gave my life to Christ almost 7 years ago, one of my very best friends quit hanging out with me. And later on, he would tell me because he was afraid that he was going to be a bad influence on my life. But now, him and his wife join me in the front row every single Sunday. Yeah. Is it worth it? Absolutely. God didn't put us on earth to live for ourselves. God gave us a purpose, that we would get to know him, that we would have a relationship with him, that we would be a family. In the book of John, Jesus tells us this: you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go. Underline those words, to go. To go and produce fruit that should remain. Fruit that should remain. Circle that. Jesus wants us to produce a fruit that will remain, a fruit that will last. Because here's the reality. Most of what we do isn't going to last. The things that we spend the majority of our time on right now is going to be forgotten. In 10 years, nobody is going to care about what movies you watched. Nobody's going to care about what books or what magazines you've read. Nobody's going to care about what you did last summer. Jesus wants us to do something with our lives that is going to remain, something that is going to last. And the fruit that Jesus is talking about is people, because people last forever. Think about that. When we die, when we pass on, we're not going to just poof out of existence. We're not going to just stop existing. This is what the Bible says. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. Circle those words, after that. Because our life, our existence, does not end here on earth. We are going to spend eternity in one of two places. We're either going to spend eternity in the presence of God, which is heaven, or we are going to spend eternity separated from God. That's hell. The Bible is clear. We are eternal beings. People are eternal. So what better way to invest our time than in people? Now, I want you to imagine this, and I think this is an amazing thought. Imagine one day you're in heaven, and somebody approaches you, and they go walk up to you, and they give you a really, really big hug, and they tell you, "I just want to thank you." And you separate for a second, and you look at them, and you tell them, it's like, "You know, thank me. I'm sorry, I don't think I recognize you. Do I know you?" And he tells you, "No, you don't know me. But you did something. You volunteered for a ministry. You volunteered for a community outreach. You invested in something at your church that caused me to get to know God. And because of you, I'm in heaven. Doesn't that sound amazing? Absolutely. Let's invest our time in people. When we look at the early church, when we look at the first Christians, the first followers of Jesus, we see that they did three separate things. They had three separate plans that would eventually reach the entire world on a global scale. And our lives need to be involved in all three of those because that's what it means to be sent. The first is the personal plan. The personal plan is my mission to the people in my life. These are going to be the people that are closest to you. These are going to be the people that you deal with on a regular basis. These are your friends, your coworkers, your friends, your family, your neighbors. These are the people that we need to be asking ourselves, what can I do to be a blessing in their life? What can I do to help them come to know God? Now, the three plans, I think this one's probably the most difficult because most of us are afraid that it's going to be really awkward. It's going to be really uncomfortable. But it doesn't have to be. Just remember a couple things. Your job isn't to argue with them. Your job isn't to ram Jesus down their throat. Your job is to wait for an opportunity to share your faith. And then you let God do the rest. Here's what the Bible says. I planted the seed in your hearts. This is Paul talking. And Apollos watered it. Apollos was one of the early church leaders. And Paul says, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. God will do all the work. You just need to start the conversation. Ask how their day has been. Ask if they have any hobbies. Ask if they've read something interesting lately. And then listen. Here's the thing. Most people like to talk. Some people like to talk a lot. So if you can teach yourself to be a good listener, and if you can teach yourself to listen for more than half of the conversation, even better. An opportunity will present itself. But more importantly, act in a way that represents Jesus. Everybody knows what a Christian is supposed to act like. And when you don't live up to those standards, everything that you say is going to be for nothing. That's how we reach the people that are closest to us. That's the personal plan. The next plan is the local plan. The local plan is what we do in our ministries. When you volunteer to help in a ministry, you're able to reach the people that are outside of your personal life. Last week, Pastor Bo showed how we can be a blessing to others. And then he asked for volunteers. He asked for volunteers to step up and be willing to invest in the church. Now, when I got the number, I actually thought this was a typo. 91 of you guys stepped forward and volunteered. Let's give that a round of applause. That is amazing. I was just back there talking with Pastor Bo, and he was telling me how immensely proud of you guys he are. When we educate the youth, when we help the poor, when we care for the sick, when we give back to the community, we're investing in people. This last year, with your help, our BCF Celebrate Recovery Ministry was able to give almost 300 backpacks and school supplies to the local schools. That's amazing. Last year, over Easter weekend, BCF hosted a live reenactment of the crucifixion. Members of our own congregation came up here and they acted out the Bible. That day, almost 800 people were fed and heard about Jesus. In fact, there were so many people here that they had to set up a movie screen outside just so everybody could watch. Last year, the youth ministry spent 4 days out at Camp Zephyr, and the theme was Spirit Wars. And it was epic. It was great. We had lightsaber battles. Now I'm going to play this one. I was like, watch where the It's not against good and evil, it's to my buddies. But watch where one falters and it gets good. Oh no. Yeah! Probably one of the best videos I've ever taken. I love that one. On top of that, we went swimming, we went hiking, zip lining, we played knockerball, and we played paintball. And at the end of each day, we had worship, prayer, and a message. But on the last day is when we saw God really start to move. 7 students gave their lives to Christ that day. And then before we left, we all walked down to the pond and we had 17 baptisms. Two of those baptisms were the parents of one of the students who drove all the way from Kingsville just to participate. Those are just a few of the ministries that you can volunteer for. Now, I've been volunteering for youth ministry for the last 4 years, and there's been absolutely nothing more amazing than watching their faith grow. But last year, I saw something that absolutely broke my heart. I watched as the graduating seniors aged out of youth ministry and had no place to go. So my wife and I, we spoke with the pastors, and then we started praying for a solution. So in October, we started a group for young adults with the hopes of building a community that would help keep them attached to the church, connected to the church. I'm gonna be honest, we weren't sure what to expect. But on day number one, we saw just how hungry they are. And I'm not talking about for pizza. They want to study the Bible. They want to learn how to defend their faith. They want to share the gospel. So now, if you're a young adult between the ages of 18 to 30, BCF has a ministry for you. The name and the logo was, there we go, that's one of our guys. The name and the logo was created by the members of the ministry as a way of saying that their faith is anchored in His word. And the purpose is to create and build a community of young adults that are grounded in their faith, to disciple them as future leaders, and to equip them with the tools to not only defend their faith, but to go out and share it. So if you're a young adult and you're interested in being part of Anchored, we meet here every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. And today, we're gonna have a special guest speaker that's gonna speak on behalf of Financial Peace University. Not gonna wanna miss that. When we're involved in a ministry, we're able to reach the people that are outside of our personal plan and into the community. That's the local plan. The third plan is the global plan. The global plan is the church's mission to the whole world. When we look at the life of Jesus 2,000 years ago, we see that His focus were on the 5 biggest problems in the world: conflict, corruption, self-centered leadership, poverty, and disease. When we turn on the news today, what do we see? Conflict, corruption, self-centered leadership, poverty, and disease. Nothing has changed in the last 2,000 years. And let's be real, nothing is gonna change unless people change first. There aren't enough doctors to fix all the problems in the world. There aren't enough teachers to fix all the problems in the world. There aren't enough missionaries to fix all the people in the world. But know what we do have? God, we do have God. We have an army of believers just waiting to be sent. And that's how we're gonna reach everybody on a global scale. Obviously, not everybody's able to jump on a plane and fly to Africa and tell people about Jesus. But there is something you can do here. There's 3 things that Jesus did that continue to change the world to this day. 3 things that you can do to continue His calling in your life. The first thing that Jesus did was He equipped leaders. Jesus equipped leaders through His relationships with people. Jesus gave His disciples hands-on experience in learning to care for others. He didn't just have His disciples watch. Jesus taught them by getting involved with the people around them. Jesus trained up His disciples by sharing His faith and living a life dedicated to God. Jesus led by example. And then when they were ready, he sent them out to make more disciples. Disciples making disciples. Jesus equipped leaders. The next thing Jesus did is he assisted the poor. There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible about the poor. It was a problem then, and it's a problem now. And Jesus says that when we assist the poor, he will assist us right back. Here's what he says. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. And he will repay them. That's a promise. If you assist the poor, if you bless others, God will bless you right back. And then, Jesus cared for the sick. The most famous stories in the Bible are of Jesus healing the blind, curing leprosy, raising people from the dead. Did you know that in almost every country, the first hospitals that are built by Christians? That's because we have a healing, teaching, preaching God that spent one-third of his ministry on caring for the sick. So Jesus equipped leaders, he assisted the poor, and he cared for the sick. Jesus did one other thing that's not in your programs, and I want you to write it down because it is important. Jesus educated the next generation. He educated the next generation. This is what he said. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The children in the back wing over there, the teenagers and the young adults here, these are the future of the church. If we as Christians don't teach them to follow Jesus, to read their Bibles, if we don't teach them to follow God, then the world is going to teach them not to. Think about that. So what does God want us to do? This is what Paul says. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. God has a mission for your life, a life message that he wants to say to the world through you, and nothing is more important than you completing your mission. So how do we do that? We're going to close out with three things. First, pray. Pray that people will say yes to God. Jesus told his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Jesus is saying that there's a lot of people that need to be brought to God, but there's not enough people to tell them about him. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Jesus told his disciples to pray for more workers. Part of our calling in life is to pray that God will send out people that will reach every part of the world. So here's how we can start praying for the harvest right now. Pray for people to come to church on Easter weekend. Pray for Good Friday. Pray for those who are getting baptized. Pray for those who have not yet made that commitment, that they will. Next, give to help others go. Maybe you're in a stage of life where you can't go right now, but you can give so that others can go. The Bible says that when we support other people that go on humanitarian missions, peace missions, relief missions, sharing the good news missions, we participate in their reward. Bible says this, therefore we ought to support people like these. He's talking about the missionaries, that we may be fellow workers of the truth, fellow workers for the truth. When you give so other people can go on missions to share the gospel, you're participating in their reward. You can pray, you can give, and you can step out in faith. What does that mean? It means to volunteer. God's army, God's mission is 100% voluntary. Nobody's going to draft you. Nobody's going to force you to volunteer. You have to step up and say, I'm ready, I'm able, and I'm willing. Just like the prophet Isaiah did, You have to step out in faith. This is what Isaiah said. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? There's that word, send. We are called to be sent. Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. I love this verse because God never said why he needed a volunteer. God never promised anything. He just said, whom shall I send? Isaiah had to volunteer. He had to step out in faith. And I think this is where a lot of us struggle, myself included, because we want God to use us. We want to be obedient, but we're afraid that he's going to go ask us to go outside of our comfort zone. We're afraid that he's going to ask us to go outside of our little bubble where everything is easy. And he's going to ask us to do something that's hard or even uncomfortable. So, you want to volunteer for something that's easy, fun, or even amazing, right? This year, you can help to volunteer at BCF's family Easter Family Fun Day. Here in a few weeks, we're going to be out at the land celebrating. We're going to have an egg hunt, three-legged race, water balloon toss. We're going to have lots of giveaways and four bouncy houses. It's a lot of bouncy houses. I think Pastor Juan refers to those as moon jumpers. It's going to be an amazing time, and you're not going to want to miss it. God didn't create you to stay in your bubble. He created you to be sent out into the world, to make a difference, to gather his family. God has a plan and a purpose for every person here. But we have to be willing to step out in faith. We have to be willing to say, okay, God, I don't know where you're leading me, but I trust you. Tell me where you want me to go. Lead me to that next step. Friends, the most powerful prayer you could ever pray is just two words. Send me. Use me. God is looking for volunteers. And when you step out in faith and you tell him, use me, send me, he's going to grab you by the hand and he's going to take you where you never thought you would go. He's going to have you do things that you never thought was possible. A lot of the time, it's going to be fun. It's going to be amazing. Other times, it's going to be sad. And sometimes it's going to be almost soul-crushing. But you're not alone. God will be there the entire time to lead you through it. And one day, you're going to be able to look back on this life and you're going to be able to say that it was all worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know everything about us. Every quirk, every trait, every single detail was given to us for a purpose. Lord, we are your masterpiece. Help me become the person that you created me to be. Give me the courage to answer your calling for my life. Give me the opportunity to reach not only those who are seeking, but those who are lost. Lord, as best as I know how, I'm saying, here I am, Lord. Send me. I know there's a growing harvest and you need workers. So use me. If that's you, if you're saying, God, send me, God, use me, would you raise your hand? I see that. Thank you. Thank you. With our heads still bowed, I want to give those who haven't yet received Christ an opportunity to experience his love, his forgiveness, his peace, a purpose and a past forgiven, all the things that God offers. If that's you, just say something like this. Dear Jesus, I want to get to know you. Just say that. I've waited too long to have a relationship with you. I want to know your plan I want to know your purpose in my life. Just say that. Know your plan, your purpose for my life. I've waited too long. I've waited long enough. Today, Lord, I'm opening my life to you, Jesus. In as much as I know how, I'm asking you, Lord, come into my life. Come into my life, not just as my Lord, but also my Savior. Jesus, I need you. Lord, I need you to save me. I ask this in your Son's name. Amen.